Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and also verses 4. That's the one we're looking at this morning, Matthew 5 and verse 4. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And as I mentioned last week, we're going to look at mourning over sin primarily. But blessed are those who mourn, or who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. My subject is the same as it was last week. Jesus is the only way to comfort. Jesus is the only way to true comfort. Part two, if you will. Jesus is the only way to true comfort. Jesus Christ is the only way to true comfort. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the only way to true comfort. Anything and everything else is just a false and fake temporary substitute. Jesus Christ is the only way to true comfort. Father, I pray that indeed that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Take the words of this clay vessel, dear God, and let it hit the hearts and minds of your people, dear Father. And as your word, the word of God, goes forward, that it would indeed find fertile soil, that it would take root and bear much fruit, that we might leave here, even as it was prayed earlier, I think Minister Terman prayed this, as we leave here later today, dear God, let us not leave here the same. Let us leave here changed. Let us be more surrendered to you, dear Lord, surrendered and in love with the Lord Jesus Christ than when we first came. We love you. We praise you, dear God. Forgive us of sin, even right now. Wash our hearts, purify our hearts and our minds. Who can approach the holy hill of God? Only those who have clean hands and a pure heart. So purify our hearts and our minds, even right now. Let nothing hinder us from hearing from you. Speak, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Jesus is the only way to true comfort. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. As I mentioned last week, there are many, if not most people, who look for comfort in all the wrong places. We look to other people, and people can let you down. They have certain limitations. My uncle, I loved him to death, 91, but he expired. He left planet Earth. He's gone now. We look for comfort in our hobbies or our jobs, but we can get laid off on our jobs, or sometimes our hobbies cease to be fun. Some people look for comfort in an alcohol bottle. Some look for comfort in drugs, be it legal or illegal. Some look for comfort in sexual experiences that are not approved by God. Some of us look for comfort in food. They call it comfort eating. And that can lead to gluttony and idolatry. We can worship food. The Girl Scout cookies are in the mist already. We look for comfort in a lot of different things. But let me reiterate, the only way for true comfort, the only way, hear me well, the only way for any true and lasting comfort is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in him and through him that we live and move and have our very being. So when you don't look to Christ as the only way, you come up with these false and fake substitutes. I mentioned last week as well, let me reiterate, you can mourn over many different types of things. You can mourn over a loved one who has left planet Earth. You can mourn over a bad medical report. You can mourn over a wayward child. You can mourn over bad health, mental or physical, of a loved one, especially an aging parent. One of my friends, they funeralized his mother yesterday. She's a great lady, but she had Alzheimer's toward the end of her life, and that's a tough illness. So we can mourn over a lot of different types of things. We can mourn over a bad financial report. We can mourn over a lot of things, and I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, but primarily I'm talking about mourning over sin. When you and I sin, when we allow ourselves to get entangled in the sin, or we habitually do sin, God says when we mourn, when we experience a brokenness over that sin, we shall be comforted. In other words, we shouldn't get comfortable in sin. I may not have too many amens this morning. We're going to look at Psalms 51 again, as we did last week. We're going to look at verses 4 through 6. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 3. But turn with me now to Psalms 51, which is a very, very great example of someone, a worshiper of God, David, a man after God's own heart who sinned and finally began to experience a brokenness over sin. And let's see how God responded to David as he came clean with his sinful lifestyle. I'm going to read verses 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 13, but we're primarily going to look at verses 4 through 8. But just kind of for continuity, I'm going to read verses 4 through 13. The first three verses of Psalms 51, he was talking about how his sin, his iniquity was just all before him. And then verse 4, he kind of makes a little turn. Verse 4, he says, "Against you, dear God, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire, God, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me," here it is, a wonderful verse, "restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Now that is a prayer. That is the heartbeat of a person who has experienced some brokenness over sin, a contrite heart. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. Let me define again transgression, iniquity, and sin, because they're used a few times in this psalm. The word transgression, you might want to write this down. The word transgression means to go beyond, to go over, to overstep the prescribed limit. So when you or I transgress, it means we've gone beyond what God told us to go beyond. For instance, Adam and Eve, they transgressed when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They went beyond the boundaries that God had to prescribe for them. Iniquity means wickedness, lawlessness, unrighteousness. Iniquity means wickedness, lawlessness, and unrighteousness. None of us need to think too highly of ourselves. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:9, he said, "A human heart is deceitful, is desperately sick and deceitful and wicked." That's why we need a new heart. That's why we need to get born again. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Sin itself means to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark. God has set a mark of holiness in all. Let me say that again. All of us have missed the mark. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But all of us have missed the mark. We've sinned. All of us have messed up. We've blown it somewhere along the line in our life. Maybe years ago, maybe yesterday, maybe today. All of us have sinned and have blown it. But it's good to know that we have a God who does indeed hear and answer our prayers of confession of sin. He hears our prayers of repentance. Say, "God, yeah, I know I've blown it. I want to be made right with you again." God doesn't say, "No, you've blown it. You've blown it too many times. I'm through listening to you." Oh, God said, "Come to me." And he will indeed. As we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I know I've done some stuff in my past that I'm glad, under the blood of Christ, I'm glad that he has cleansed me from my unrighteousness. Three people glad. I'm glad. Four people glad. I'm glad that he has forgiven me. You know, it's funny when you go back where you grew up, you know, as I went back to Southern Arkansas, you see some folks, you know, that you used to know back when, and all kind of stuff come across your mind, and sometimes it ain't good stuff. Let me fan y'all now. So, sometimes it's not good stuff. But I thank God that he's cleaned up some of my bad stuff from the past. But blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. Verse 4, David cries out, "Dear God, I've sinned against you and you alone." Wait a minute, David. I thought you sinned with Bathsheba. I thought you committed adultery with Bathsheba. He did. wait a minute, David, I thought you had her husband Uriah killed. He did. Well, David, why are you bringing God into this thing? Beloved, hear me well, and this should help you in your Christian walk. Anytime you or anytime I sin, we sin first and foremost against a holy God. Every time I go off on somebody, every time I do something that's not right with God, first and foremost, I sin against God. He is a holy God. So I think we would view sin a little differently if we think about, okay, if I do this, I'm really doing it against God first. So David, his theology was pretty tight. David said, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. Yeah, I know I've committed adultery. Yeah, I know I've committed murder. But really, I've sinned against you, a holy and a righteous God. When you and I sin, we really grieve the heart of God. But when you and I lie, when we are jealous, when we're envious, when we're full of pride, when we commit some sexual sin, when we get drunk, when you get high on drugs, you're really grieving the heart of God. You're grieving the Holy Spirit who's inside of you. I'm preaching to the Christian church this morning. You know, God is not pleased with us when we sin. You, as a Christian, you don't lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. But watch this. It hinders our fellowship and relationship with the Lord. All of us in here who have kids or grandkids, we love them to death. But when they do some more crazy stuff, you still don't love them. But if they lying to you, that's going to hinder your relationship. That's going to hinder your relationship. I can tell off on my daughter in Michigan. She don't listen to my sermons, so I can tell off on her. I love her to death. She's 32 years old. I love her to death. But she hit a real rough spot in her life when she was 20 or 21. Just went crazy on different stuff. And one time I sent her some money. I sent her $300. $300 check. Guess what? My daughter, whom I love dearly, changed that 3 to an 8. Y'all ain't hear me. Changed that 300 to an 800. Now, you best believe, I still loved her, but you best believe that hurt our relationship. Matter of fact, even to the day, 10 years later, if I send her some money, it's going to be like a money order, cashier's check. That affected our relationship. But she's still my daughter. I still love her to death. So it is, beloved. When we do some crazy stuff against God or against somebody else that God is not pleased with, we're still his son or daughter, but that impacts our relationship. That impacts our fellowship. And he is a holy God. Unlike we're not always holy parents, but he's a holy God. Perfect God. So when we do crazy stuff, it impacts, it hinders, it stifles our relationship. So David, that's what he was experiencing in this text before us. David said, something's not right. I mean, I've lost that connectivity with God. Matter of fact, later on, he said, Lord, have you taken your spirit from me? He said, return to me the joy of thy salvation. I want it to be like it used to be with me and you. So it is with sin. Sin hinders Adam and Eve. They had a perfect relationship with God. But when they disobeyed, then they were hiding from God. Oftentimes, that's what happens to the Christian. When we mess up, we want to hide from God. How many of y'all know we can't hide from God? God said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins may be as red as scarlet, I can make them as white as snow. Confession of sin and repentance are friends of the Christian person. They're our friends. So David said, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. You and I need to mourn over sin. We need to mourn over sin. There are all types of sins. I won't list the list again. I mean, we can turn to Ephesians 5. We can Galatians 5, rather. I mean, 1 Corinthians 7. I mean, there are a lot of lists of sins in the Bible. Sometimes we just focus on what we call the big sins. Like maybe drugs or alcohol or sexual sins, something like that. But you can be full of pride. That's a sin. You know, you can tell little white lies, whatever that is. That's a sin. You can overeat, gluttony. That's a sin. You know, you can be envious. That's a sin. You can sin just in your mind. You didn't really do it. You didn't really go off on them, but you went off on them in your mind. There are many different ways you and I can sin. So ask God, develop in me a godly sorrow towards sin, a brokenness over sin, that when I do blow it, because I do blow it every now and then, quickly convict me by your Holy Spirit, that I might cry and say, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me for what I just thought. Forgive me for what I just said. Forgive me for what I just did. And guess what? He is faithful. He is faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive. That's a good God. I said, that's a good God. Because, you know, when sometimes people mess up on us too many times, we say, that's enough. You done got me three times. What's that old saying? You know, if you give me the first time, shame on you if you give me the first time. If you give me the second time, shame on me. So you're going to get me once, but maybe not two or three times since the rose. But God, he looks toward us and he forgives us of sin. And so David, even though he had had Uriah killed, even though he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, he was crying out for forgiveness. Now let's be like David. Don't try to excuse this thing called sin away. Here at Love Fellowship, we still say sin. We still say if you die without Jesus, you're going to hell. We still say if you come to Christ, you're going to heaven. We still call it what it is. We don't say, well, he made a little mistake. Just a little slip up. Or, you know, everybody's doing it. Nobody's perfect. No, nobody's perfect. But let's quit using all these excuses. And when we mess up and we blow it, just call it what it is. S-I-N, sin. Yeah, I sinned. I messed up. I blew it. I'm not proud of it. I'm not bragging about it, but I sinned. You need to name that thing. Sin. It was a show came on years ago. It would come on. They would play a little clip of a song. And it was Name That Tune. So as a Christian walking this Christian journey, you need to just name that sin. If you lied, just say, God, I lied yesterday. Please forgive me. Help me not to lie today. Because I lied yesterday. Just name it. Hey, that's a good place, Brother Chris, for a name it and claim it. I'm not talking about all that material. So just name it. Say, Lord, I see it. I'm claiming your forgiveness. And I'm claiming I'm not going to lie today. That's a good use of naming and claiming. Whatever it is, saints, cry out to God. He's faithful to hear. He's faithful to listen. Once again, let me use a parent or grandparent analogy. When our kids might go astray, I mean, we're like the guy who had the prodigal son. We're praying. We're hoping and wishing they come on back. So is God. God says, come to me. Come to me. And he is like the guy in the prodigal son. That prodigal son is really more, it's kind of about the second son, but it's really about a forgiving father. When he sees the prodigal coming, the Bible says he runs to him. He runs to him and says, my son who was lost, he's now. Go get the fatted calf. Go get a robe. Let's put a robe. Put a ring on his finger. Because my son who was lost, now he's found. So, beloved, don't let unconfessed sin hinder your relationship with God. Confess it, repent of it, and move on. And as those things happen, you got to say, God, deliver me from that stronghold, whatever it might be. Deliver me from that thing that entangles me, that sin that so easily entraps me. Now, let's be honest. Let's be real. All of us in here got something that just trips us up from time to time. It might be lying for one, might be envy for one, might be bad language or gossiping for somebody. I bet all of us got something that just trips us up from time to time. Say, God, give me victory, give me deliverance over that thing. And we can have faith and confidence. God, he is a God who can deliver. Because on the flip side, I'm sure all of us in here, if you're walking with Christ, all of us in here got some stuff that God has delivered us from. Skirt, rewind. Let me say it again. All of us got something that God has delivered us from. So since he got me out of that and delivered me from that, he can deliver me from this. Whatever this is. He's a delivering God. He's a God who can free us. Break every chain that the song says. Know that God has a power. He has a power. He has all power. Minister Chairman just talked about the sovereignty of God. He's in control of all things. He has all power. So he can break whatever is tripping you up. Don't be talking about, well, you know, I just got to do that. No, you ain't got to do that if you belong to Jesus. If you got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, you don't got to do it. Excuse my English. You don't got to do it. You might want to do it. You ain't got to do it. Not if you're in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we quote these verses almost like little cliches, but this is the word of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is within me, the Holy Spirit, than he that is within the world. So the only time when I sin, it's because I choose to sin. I can't even blame the devil. I can't do that Flip Wilson theology. The devil made me do it. Y'all remember that character, right? In the late 60s, early 70s, Flip Wilson. I don't even know why my folks would let me watch that show, Flip Wilson show. Had that little character, Geraldine. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do nothing. He can't make me do anything. He can entice us. He can tempt us. He goes around like a roaring lion. He masquerades as an angel of light. Yes, he's a tempter, but he can't make us do anything. I often say this, saints. We got three enemies as we talk about sin. It's the world. It's world's philosophy. It's directly opposed to the word of God. This word. Just listen to something. This world's philosophy. All kind of crazy slogans and cliches in this world that's totally against the Bible. So that's one of our enemies, the world's philosophy. Second enemy is the devil. Brother Michael, he is my enemy. I hate him and he hates me. He hates anything that belongs to God. He is our enemy. But the third enemy, the roughest joker I deal with every day, is that fella I see when I look in the mirror every morning. That's my reference. That's your representative too. When you look in the mirror, he is the one that says, do this or don't do that or do that. You know, the enemy can't make us do anything. Only we ourselves. That's why we got to walk by the spirit and not according to the flesh, that we might not carry out the deeds or the desires of the flesh. Walk by the spirit, Galatians 5 tells us to do. So David said, I've sinned against you and you alone, dear God. Verse 5, David says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So David in this verse is simply stating that he was born a sinner. This is just good basic theology right here, saints. David said, I was born a sinner. He's not saying that his mom was committing premarital sex or adultery or anything like that. He's not trying to make an excuse. He said, this is how I was born. I was born a sinner. All of us in here were born sinners. We have too high of a view of ourselves as it relates to our righteousness. We were born a sinner. Again, that's why we had to be born again. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Think about it. Once again, if you got kids or grandkids, you didn't have to teach them how to sin. I didn't teach my daughters how to sin. They learned it on their own. I mean, you know, I use this imagery every now and then. You tell a child not to go over there, not to cross this line, not to pick that up. Next thing you know, you look away, they're picking it up. I just told you not to pick that up. You didn't teach them that. You didn't train them how to do that. We come with this sin nature. We do. We are born. Thank you, Adam and Eve. We're born with this sin nature because of Genesis 3. We're born with this sin nature. So David is just reamplifying that, restating it. He said, I was born in iniquity. See, David knew, and you should know, your need for a savior, your need for God, your need for Jesus, because we are messed up in and of ourselves. Our righteousness is but as filthy rags before God. But if you're in Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved, you've been justified, you've been declared righteous, declared not guilty. I'm glad that in my own self, my righteousness is but as filthy rags, but because I'm in Christ, I've been declared righteous. As if you have never sinned. Positionally, you are declared righteous as a Christian. So David, he didn't miss that. He said, Lord, I was born in sin. I was messed up. And so because of that, there's a little tension, if you will, between verse 5 and verse 6. Just still talking about, blessed are those who mourn over sin, but they shall be comforted. God will come and comfort you as you confess and repent of your sins. Verse 5, David talks about how, man, I'm born, I'm messed up, I'm sinful. And then verse 6, look what verse 6 says. Behold, David says to God, you desire, Lord, even though I was born in sin, Brother LeBron, I was born in sin. He said, God, you desire truth in the inward parts, Brother Jeffrey. You desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. So here it is. God, I was born in sin, but you desire truth in the inward parts. And that's a dilemma. That's some friction. That's some tension. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but God desires, he has a standard that he will not relax. He has a standard that we might have truth in the inward parts. Now you gotta believe that you can't pull that off on your own. You can't pull off that truthfulness in your inward parts on your own. It almost seems like it's an unfair thing, but that's what God said. God says, once again, you can't do it on your own, but you need me to help you to pull that off. Let me say that again. You can't pull it off on your own. You need God. I need Jesus to help us to pull that off, to have truth in the inward parts. Even outside, saying we can fake it till we make it, so to speak. Outside, I can act all holy. I can act all righteous. I can act all good on the outside. But you can see me on the inside. There's some stuff on the inside of me, and there's some stuff on the inside of you that's not pleasing to God. And he desires truth in the inward parts, in your heart, in your mind, those things you don't even do, but you're thinking them. You know, he told the Pharisee, he said, your lips and what you're doing is close to me, but your heart is far from me. So even in the Christian church, even here this morning, we're not careful. On the outside, we can look like we're close to God. On the outside, we can look like, man, me and God, we're tight. But God said, I see on the inside. God said, the only person that comes to my holy hill are those who have a clean hand and a pure heart. And the only way you and I keep a pure heart is continue to rush to the cross. Here it is right here. Continue to rush to the cross. Continue to rush to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I blew it a few minutes ago, but I'm coming back to you. I'm confessing my sin. I'm mourning over my sin. I have a brokenness over my sin, and please forgive me. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. It's nothing like coming to God and you're convicted of a sin, and you come to God and say, God, I know I did that. I know I said that. I know I thought that. And this thing is weighing me down. I give it to you. I cast all my cares to you. And God lifts that thing up off you. Somebody ought to know what I'm talking about. He lifts that thing up off you. He says, I forgive you. I see you. I'm going to help you not to do it the next time. He lifts that burden up off you. But there is therefore not no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ, you shouldn't be under condemnation. Now, if you're not in Christ, you need to realize I am under condemnation. I am under the wrath of God. But blessed are those who mourn over sin. They shall be comforted. I'm going to say that several times today about you need to confess, you need to repent, you need to turn to God and move on. Sometimes we as Christians, I'm going to mention this in just a second. There are three different types of sin, three different type of areas, really more than three, but I'm going to give you three different type of areas even this morning. That if you're not careful, you let it steal your joy. You let it steal your joy. See, in verse 8, I'm going to jump 8 and come back to 7. Verse 8 says, make me hear joy and gladness. David cries out. There's some things that will hurt you of your joy, rob you of your joy. Let me give you just a few of them. One is sins in the past. Sins of the past. Sins of the past. Things, you know, you did way back when. Sins of the past. Beloved, if you have confessed that sin or those sins to God, if you have received the forgiveness of that sin or those sins from God, leave that stuff in the past. Don't allow past sins to rob you of present joy. Don't be like, well, God, 2 years ago, I knew I blew it. I shouldn't have done that. And you're still beating yourself up over something from 2 years ago. As long as you have confessed it and repented of it, that's in the past. If there are some other people you need to go to and try to get it right, do that. But I'm saying stuff that's really buried. It's in the past. But yet you allow it to rob you of your present joy. So that's one thing that can rob us of our present joy is sins of the past. Another thing that can rob us of our present joy, another joy stealer, if you will, is sins of the present. Sins of the present. Sins of right now. Sins of the present. Sins of right now. Sins that... things you've done or are doing, even right now as a Christian, stuff you know that is entangling you and tripping you up and you shouldn't be doing it, that's going to steal you of your joy. That's going to hinder your relationship with God. That's going to hinder your relationship with Jesus. You can't be doing dipping and diving and doing this and doing that stuff you know is not right and think you and God are still going to be cool. No, you can't do that. God said, I expect truth in the inward part. I expect holiness. That's why I gave you my Holy Spirit to help you to live holy. So if you're not careful, sins of the past can rob you of present joy. But also sins of the present, stuff you're doing even right now, can rob you of your present joy. So you need to cry out to God, say, God, get rid of this joy stealer. Get rid of that thing that I'm doing or I'm saying or I'm thinking that I know is hindering our relationship. Get rid of it, dear God, because I want to be closer to you. Third thing, and there are other things, but we looked at past sins, present sins, but also unconfessed sins. That's what David was struggling with, an unconfessed sin or sins. You know, you've done something or continue to do something, and you try to conceal it, try to hide it. Kind of like Achan, when they went around the walls of Jericho, and God said, don't mess with all this stuff. It's going to be a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of good. It's going to be tempting, but don't touch it. Don't mess with it. Here come Achan. Stole a little bit of it, went on into his camp, bury it down in his camp. God said, no, Achan, I see it. As a matter of fact, when y'all go out to battle this little place called Ai, y'all gonna lose. You can't, beloved, you or me, we can't hide stuff from God. Think about it. Most of us have had real parents that are really only growing up, Brother Jim. We couldn't even really hide nothing from mama or daddy. We thought we could. Just when we thought we got away with it. Here they come with that belt. So you know we can't hide it from mama or daddy. We definitely can't hide it from our heavenly father. So if you're not careful, a joy stealer could be sins of the past, stuff that you've been forgiven for, Rachel and Sarah, and you moving on. But don't let it keep stealing you of your present joy. Another thing that can rob you of your present joy is present sin, stuff that you're doing. You know it's wrong, but you keep on doing it. That's going to rob you of your joy as a Christian. Also, another thing is unconfessed sin, stuff you try to hide. Think you can get away with it, but you can't. How many of y'all know you can't get away from God? You can't hide. You can't hide from those things. Now back to verse 7 real quick. Back to verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, I love this. I love this. This plant called hyssop was a shrub with a nice aroma. It grew to be about 3 feet tall. It had clusters of yellow flowers on it. It was used, listen to this, this hyssop plant was used to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost down in Egypt when God sent the death angel. That's in Exodus 12:22. Read that later, Exodus 12:22. The hyssop plant was used to put the blood over the doorpost, which really was a type of Christ. It recognized it like Christ over the doorpost. And so the death angel passed on. Another time this hyssop plant was used, we're looking at it next week, during the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was, this hyssop plant was dipped down in liquid and then given to Jesus in John 19:29. This hyssop plant. Also in Leviticus chapter 14, during those purification ceremonies, to sprinkle the blood on the altar, and even sometimes it was used to sprinkle the blood on the altar. That's Leviticus 14. And sometimes even on a person, representing the removal of sin through the shedding of blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So this hyssop plant, represents a purging and an inner cleansing. So when he cries out, purge me with hyssop, he had in mind that hyssop plant that was used once again down in Egypt, that was used once again to give to Jesus Christ, that was used once again in Leviticus 14 during the purification time when you were on the altar. So David said, cleanse me with the blood of Christ. Wash me in the blood of Christ. Hymn writer picked up on that and he said, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing. I say nothing but the blood of Jesus. You got to go by way of the cross. You got to go by way of the cross. So David, he kind of predated that and picked up on that. Listen to what Isaiah 1:18 says. Come now, talking about coming to Christ, confessing your sin, repenting of sin. Come now, God says, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God said, I have forgiveness for you. God said, I have reconciliation for you. God said, I have a second and a third and a fourth and an nth chance for you. God said, I got just what you need. I said, God says, I got what you need. When you acknowledge and admit that, yeah, I have missed the mark. I have messed up. God said, that's what I was waiting for you to do. I was waiting for you to confess and repent of that sin. And guess what? I'm going to forgive you. Now, sometimes, hear this, beloved, sometimes some of those consequences remain. I use this simple and easy illustration. Like if I went out of here and got mad and got irate and shot and killed somebody, guess what? God can, as I come to him with a repentant heart, can and will forgive me of that sin. But guess what? I'm going to have to go out there to Silverdale Plantation. That's really what prison houses are. Read the 13th Amendment. Really, that's what prisons are. They're plantations. It's saying, this is a side note, but it says that slavery is abolished. There's no more involuntary servitude. It's illegal, right? Unless you get arrested and get put in jail. Then you literally are a slave. That's what I often share with some of our brothers who in and out. I say, man, you must like being a slave. You must like going to Silverdale Plantation. Stay out of trouble with the law. Stay out of slavery. So I would commit that sin. God can and will forgive me, but I still had to serve some time. So consequences of our sins, sometimes he removes the consequences. Sometimes the consequences are very minimal. But sometimes, I tell you, beloved, it's some things I've done in my life that I know God has forgiven me of. But they still have some scars that are left in my life. Still have some scars. I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. But I still have some scars. So let's don't presuppose on God's grace and mercy. Well, God gonna forgive me. I just go out and do this. No, that's being very presumptuous. As a matter of fact, that doesn't sound like a Christian to me. We ought to be saying, Lord, I don't want to sin. I don't want to do it again. I want to live holy. And then when I do bump my head, please forgive me, Lord. I repent. Help me the next time not to bump my head, especially in that same spot. It's one thing to sin, but keep doing the same old sin over and over and over. Something's wrong somewhere. As the old saying goes, there's a dead cat on the line somewhere. Say, God, give me some freedom out of this area. Now, I got some other areas over here I need to work on too. So David said, I want to be washed with hyssop. I want the blood of Jesus on me, charged to my account. And then he says in verse 8, I'm almost through. He says, make me hear joy. That's one thing I love about the Christian, one of the things I love about the Christian walk, I can experience the joy of the Lord. I'm not serving some bunch of rules and some rituals and some regulations. We serve a living God. I said, we serve a living God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know about you. I get up excited to serve Jesus each and every day. In spite of the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations, I have a relationship with a living God. I can experience His joy, His presence, His love, His grace, His discipline, because He's a personal God. He's not, once again, He's not some detached deity way out there. He's not like Allah and all them other old false gods, the God of Jehovah's Witness. He is a personal and real God. So David said, return to me the joy. Something wrong if you don't have joy every now and then. Hey, matter of fact, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. I'm like Brother R.V. Brown. Some of y'all know him. I'm tired of all them sad face, prune face Christians. You got to have some joy. We're on the right side. We're on the winning side. When we are down and out, we got a God who can come and pick us up. Matter of fact, He picked us up when we were down in mark and miry clay and put our feet on a solid foundation. We have a true and living God. I can experience the joy of the Lord. But David saw here when unconfessed sin, when you dabbling and hiding in sin, that joy leaves you. That's what David was saying, Lord, return to me your joy. He even talks about, look at verse 8. He even talks about God. It's basically like you broke my legs. The bones you have broken, I want them to rejoice again. The image there is, you know, David was a shepherd, right? David was a shepherd. And, you know, he played instruments and stuff, but he was a shepherd. So he had great shepherd imagery, like Psalms 23, you know, Lord is my shepherd. And so what a shepherd would typically do, if they had a wayward sheep, a sheep that kept wandering off. Some of y'all might be in that number. Sheep that kept wandering off. Keep wandering off. This is what the shepherd would do. This is what the shepherd would do. Do some research on this sometime. This is what the shepherd would do. He would pick up that sheep that would wander off. He would literally break the sheep's legs. He would. But watch this. He wouldn't break the sheep's leg and throw it over to the side. Exactly. He would carry the sheep. That's a good shepherd. He would break the sheep's leg, but he would carry the sheep. Day after day, he would carry that sheep. So the sheep that used to wander is now close to the shepherd. So as they get closer and closer during those days and days and days, eventually when the sheep legs get mended, he puts the sheep back down. And guess what happens? That sheep has gotten used to being carried by the shepherd, being close to the shepherd. That sheep stays close to the shepherd. He doesn't wander off anymore. So beloved, sometimes God has to literally break our legs to keep us from wandering. Then He grabs us even during those times and walks with us. Let us rest in His bosom. Then when we heal, we don't wander off like we used to. We're learning that His way is the best way. I thought I knew the best way. I thought I could zigzag and go over here and get away with something, or jump over here. Now I'm learning that walking with Jesus is the best way. I'm learning that following Him and staying close to the Master is the best way. Best way for joy, best way for peace, best way for general success in life. It's the best way. You know, God even tells young people, this is for all of us too, but young people, obey the commands of your father and mother, that it may go well with you, young people and older people, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now, you know, I got grandkids. Now, my oldest daughter in Michigan got two sons, so I got grandkids. But when I hear my own Brother Chris get there, I was slowing around doing something yesterday. My mother said, boy, get on over here. I'm like, Mama, I'm boy. No, I didn't really think that. Nah, I got on over there. Because I've learned. She's my mom. She's going to tell me right from wrong. So when we're working with the Lord, sometimes He said, boy, Garrett, get on over here. So we are learning. Yes, Lord, I should have been over here in the first place. Because He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. So David says, Lord, return to me the joy of my salvation, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. And so David was saying, Lord, I want to get back right with you the way I was with you before. I want our relationship to be the same. So, beloved, believe you me, if you're a Christian, if you're walking with the Lord and something seems different, you seem kind of out of kilter, you seem far away, guess who moved? Guess who moved or who caused something is you or me? The Lord is still there in a sense, reaching out his hand, and we're the one who's moving away. Let me say this hymn one more time. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I got to repeat that last line. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other, no other, no other fount. I've tried all kind of other stuff. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only his blood can make us right. We can try all kind of works. We can try all kind of good deeds. All this stuff. Nothing will make us right with the Lord. That's why I've been telling a few people. I love my aunt, my uncle to death, 91 years old. Good moral man. Good moral man. But over the years, I never really heard. Some people just don't articulate their faith that much. And I'm not saying he wasn't a Christian, but it's been kind of messing with my mind a little bit. I really did not know. So you can do all kind of good works, all kind of moral deeds, do all this stuff, give money away, do all that. But if you don't know Jesus, if you don't go by way of the cross, you're still going to end up in the wrong place. So when we leave here, beloved, people ought to know, yeah, I know Sister Rose loved the Lord. Yeah, I know Mother Lawson loved the Lord. I know Sister Kathy loved the Lord. Yeah, I know Brother Tommy loved the Lord. People should know just by the life we live. Just by the life we live. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. You know a Christian by when they become broken over sin. I don't know about you, but I hate when I sin. Like, man, how did I blow it that time? Lord, please forgive me. Help me not to blow it the next time. Help me to handle it differently the next time. I mean, God begins to develop a hunger, and that's one of the other Beatitudes coming up soon, a hunger for thirst and righteousness, and really a disdain for and a hatred for sin. The Christian who's growing in a healthy way, we develop a disdain, a dislike, a distaste for some of the old sinful habits we used to have. But we develop a better hunger and a better thirst for the righteousness of God. So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. If you want the comfort of God, if you want the joy of the Lord, you got to learn how to have a disdain, a dislike for the things of the world, a dislike for sin. Sin only appeals for a moment, only satisfies the flesh for a moment. Then it leaves. But God gives a lasting, I say he gives a lasting joy and pleasure that never leaves. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you this day. We thank you, dear God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy.